boobies and fail, she will show you the world if you step up and tell her where. For a dime you can see Kankakee or Paris or Washington crossing the Delaware.
And there we go. Once again, it's Comedy Playhouse. A robot walks into a bar, orders a drink, lays down some cash. The bartender says, "Hey, we don't serve robots." The robot responds, "Ho-ho, someday you will." "What's your robot do, Sam?" "It collects data about the surrounding environment, then discards it and drives into a wall." "What's the first thing you look for when you're purchasing a robot?" "The emergency kill switch." There are 10 kinds of people in the world. Those who can read binary and those who can't. Knock, knock. Who's there? A robot. Ah. Why do blonde robots wear wool covering on their hard drive racks? To keep their MB trays warm. Why did the robot cross the road? Motor, left servo equals 100. Motor, right servo equals 100. A telephone and the internet were having a conversation. "Millions of women have told me their most intimate secrets," says the telephone. "Is that so?" says the internet. "Well, tough guy, the energy used by the server farms dedicated to powering part of me, that's pornography during any 24-hour period, is equivalent to roughly 1,000 times the total joules generated during the entire Industrial Revolution." "What?" says the telephone. "Speak up, my ears are ringing." We've got so much for you tonight. We've got some of the finest, talented comedians this planet's ever seen. And first, let me bring on a very talented alien, someone you'll really like. This is Verity Bismuth, and Verity will bring us the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Verity Bismuth with the news.
The Special K brand story continues to be in the news. Spokesmodel from Coke Industries has announced two new flavors of Soylent Green, new Jalapeno South of the Border flavor, and that new Mediterranean Soylent Arabia with extra spice. Get some today. The colorful packages are back. No more beige with the big red K on the outside. This week's pipeline explosions were limited to Arkansas and Michigan with a spectacular display at the Texas Fertilizer Expo when three buildings imploded and only 45 were injured. A new safety record for the Texas chemists. Drones have reported almost no truancies in the greater Los Angeles School District for the second day in a row. In city news, we have a follow-up on last week's drone story. The new X-25M has been flying over the city and has documented the fallback to school migration from the suburbs. Classes are packed again with the mandatory students getting the water rations after each day's study. The new tattoo stencils have proven a big hit with almost no allergic reactions to speak of, and there has been very little reaction to the instant off feature that will put the angriest customer to sleep instantly. In state news, the tunnels have reopened after last weekend's torrential downpour closed them to all but pedestrian traffic, and water deliveries are expected to resume by early next week. Also in water news, the giant insects reported last week in New York have found a home in Queens with hive cluster that has encompassed a three-block area of flats. Scientists are said to be studying the problem, and Monsanto bee feeding experts are taking samples. In foreign news, both our Southern Army and Northern Armies are experiencing a robot letdown moment. Military experts are calling for a renewed urgency, and the draft motion will be doing street corner conscription for the next 2 months, weather permitting. In today's drone report, the bridge south of the border checkpoint has been very nearly repaired, and they expect military traffic to resume once the mines are cleared sometime early next week.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Remember, like my mama used to say, it's not special if it's not Special K. Now the weather. We've seen a steady increase in acid rainfall, so as the weatherman says, bring in your victory vegetables so the acids don't digest them in advance. And with the increasing electrical lightning storms, you should go out and buy the new Special K Secure Power to protect the big wall screen you love to touch. And while the earthquake forecast this week is relative light only, 2 or 3 6-pointers this week, but authorities have said they will be doing lots of drilling this week, so there will be steady increase in quakes next week. In fact, the car ban has been reinstituted for next week.
Punch your view receipts now.
Thanks for watching, and don't forget to get your water use permit stamped with this week's news code, iWatch 409-858-5A, so you can collect your water rations without any questions. Remember, you must get your news stamp if you want today's water rations. Good morning. This has been Verity Bismuth with a morning's mandatory news brief.
Thank you, Verity.
And now, back by popular demand, it's the Amusitron 5000 with the elephant upgrade.
First of all, you get a very big loaf. How do you make an elephant sit up and beg? Wave a peanut under its trunk. How do you make an elephant stew? Keep it waiting for 2 hours. How do you recognize elephants in a swimming pool? They're the ones with the great trunks. How do you run over an elephant? Climb up its tail, dash to its head, and slide down its trunk. How do you scold an elephant? Say tusk, tusk. How do you shoot a purple elephant? With a purple elephant gun. How do you shoot a white elephant? Jump on his back, choke him till he's purple, then shoot him with a purple elephant gun. How do you stop an elephant from charging? Take away his credit cards. How do you stop an elephant getting through the eye of a needle? Tie a knot in his tail. How do you tell an elephant from a monster? A monster never remembers. A white elephant walks up to a telephone kiosk, but finds a gray elephant in there. How does he get it out? He uses Persil, which forces white in and gray out. How can an elephant best avoid wrinkling? He should avoid sleeping in his clothes. How can you raise baby elephants? With a crane. How can you recognize an elephant? By the smell of peanuts on its breath. How can you tell if an elephant has been in the fridge? By the footprints in the butter. How can you tell if an elephant has been sitting on your bed? By the smell of peanuts and the wrinkles in the bedspread. How can you tell if there is an elephant under your bed? When you are nearly touching the ceiling, how can you tell if there's an elephant in your sandwich? It's too heavy to lift off the plate. How can you tell if there's an elephant still in the fridge? Because you can't shut the door. How can you tell if you have an elephant in bed with you? By the embroidered on his pajamas. How can you tell when there's an elephant in the custard? By the lumps. How can you tell when there's an elephant locked in your pantry? When you hear a trumpeting to get out. How do ducks get flat feet? From trying to teach elephants to dance. How did elephants get such long noses? By playing tug of war with crocodiles. How did the elephant stop a cold going to his chest? He tied a knot in his trunk. How do elephants dive into swimming pools? Head first. How do elephants find each other in the dark? Delightful. How do elephants get in touch with one another? By eel phone. How do elephants get up trees? They sit on an acorn and wait for it to grow. How do elephants have a bath? They take their trunks off. How do elephants have baths? They put their toes in first. How do elephants smell without their trunks? Awful. How do elephants travel? By eel copter. How do mammoths pass exams? With extinction. How do we know that peanuts are good for elephants' eyesight? Have you ever seen an elephant with glasses? How do you best hide an elephant? Skin him. How do you catch an elephant? Make a noise like a peanut. Oh, you've heard this one before. No, but I've tried it, and it works. How do you catch an elephant? Take a fishing rod and put a peanut on the end. How do you catch an elephant? Make a noise like a peanut. How do you disguise an elephant? Give him a mustache and dark glasses. How do you fit 5 elephants into a Citroen 2CV? 2 in the front, 2 in the back, and the last one in the glove compartment. How do you get 4 elephants into a Mini? 2 in the front, and 2 in the back. How do you get 4 giraffes into a Mini? You can't. It's full up with elephants. How do you get a tablecloth from under an elephant? Wait for the elephant to get up. How do you get an elephant into a matchbox? Take all the matches out first. How do you get an elephant into a phone box? Open the door. How do you get an elephant out of the bath? Pull the plug out. How do you get an elephant through a small door? Unless he goes on a diet, you don't. How do you get down from an elephant? You don't, you get it from ducks. How do you get rid of an old elephant? Put it in a jumbo sale. How do you hire an elephant? Put a brick under each foot. How do you keep an elephant from smelling? Tie a knot in his trunk. How do you know if an elephant is visiting your house? His bicycle will be parked outside. How do you know that peanuts are fattening? Have you ever seen a skinny elephant? How do you make a banana laugh? Tell it an elephant joke. How do you make an elephant float? Take 2 scoops of ice cream and add 1 elephant. How do you make an elephant fly? Buy an airline ticket. How do you make an elephant fly? Well, you start with a 6-foot zip. How do you make an elephant laugh? Tell it a banana joke. How do you make an elephant laugh? Tickle its ivories.
And now, our education report with Gradyflation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Gradyflation.
Thanks, narrator.
You're welcome.
Many parents, reproducers, have been concerned the move towards higher and higher stakes testing and the opportunities of forecloses for youngsters who don't toe the line.
Isn't it true, Grady, that there has been a backlash even among educational conspirators and the Department of Education, Inc.? We've seen the trend reverse and the incoming tide go out.
That's true, narrator. For some time, reproducer from Maine to Maryland have been questing the stern no-nonsense, advance no dummy behind, zero intolerance of low gradesters.
Times have changed.
Indeed, and with a vengeance. Schools have been forced to abandon the left-hand, right-hand upgrade policy for students who score below a B natural on their mandatory screening tests, and instead of the removal and upgrading of both hands, only the left hand will be upgraded, leaving the passing student to keep their right hand regardless of the inherent distraction potential. If only the left hand will be upgraded, leaving the passing student to keep their right hand regardless of the inherent distraction potential it possesses.
So this year, for the first time, all students will receive their mandatory circuit tattoo at the beginning of the school year instead of the component as a reward for their graduation.
That's right, narrator. These circuit tattoos will be available in all the standard school colors. And this year, for the first time, the choice of font will be made by the implantee themselves.
No kidding. With grades continuing to rise, we expect some boys will be able to keep at least one old-fashioned hand throughout the entire school year, even if it must be upgraded upon graduation. What about egg harvesting this year, Grady?
That's right. This year, the Egg Harvest Festival will coincide with the Autumn Harvest Festival to ensure that only authorized replicants can. While some will be bobbing for apples, others will be zapping for zygotes.
Thank you so much, Grady. That's Gradyflation with this week's school report.
And now, in honor of the spy whistleblowers who are lingering in an embassy somewhere, we bring you this opportunity to listen in on the offices of Senator Bragg while his secretary performs the important messaging function. Let's listen in.
Bring, bring. Yes, this is Senator Bragg's office. No, the senator is out at a prayer breakfast. You have his what? Yes, he was out on the town last night. No, he had his pants on when he came in this morning. I'm sorry, I don't know whose pants they are. Yes, yes, yes. That is how you spell his name. All right, maybe they are his pants. Let me ask you this. Did you find his teeth? Thanks. You'll drop them by. You'll drop them by then. Fine.
What? Bring, bring.
Senator Bragg's office. No, he's meeting with some consultants, some constituents this morning. We don't expect the session to convey until 1 o'clock. No, he's supporting the bill to send surplus surface to air missiles to state police departments, not city police departments. That's a misquote. I don't care if you have him on videotape saying it. It's a misquote. And the story about surplus submarine reactors going to elementary schools is just that, a story. No, we're not anticipating recycling the tactical weapons at the state level. That's for the municipal police departments. Yes, and those new Patriot missiles, they're going to the county departments.
Bring, bring.
Excuse me, we have another call. Thanks for the heads up. Yes, yes, he does know about the chemical spill. He's consulting with experts right now to figure out the best way to deal. Yes, he's planning on visiting the site this week. Oh, you've all been evacuated then? Yes, I'm sure pending the results of this meeting, action will be forthcoming. Well, today's the 3rd, right? Well?
Bring, bring, bring.
Excuse me. We have another call. I have to get this. Everyone else is out. Hello, yes. Senator Bragg's office. Uh-huh. Yes. The usual amount, then. Good. He'll be so pleased. What's the name again? We always send thank you cards. Mr. Buck Schatz, American Firearms Institute, 30 Aug Boulevard, Heater County, California, 90666. Got it. The senator will be looking forward to the dinner then, Tuesday the 22nd. He does like his bison rare, yes, right.
Bring, bring.
Oh, hello, Senator. Well, your teeth have been found, and it seems you left your pants in the limo. Whose were you wearing this morning? No, never mind. Senator, the check from the Firearms Institute came in, right? No, we don't have to wait. I took it right over the wire with my smartphone. Oh, Senator, don't say that. This isn't a secure line. Look, some questions have been raised about the Lend-Lease Police bill. It's that incident on the playground with the third graders. I know, sure. It's a direct pass-through, and the boys at Boeing TriStar XEGE really like the smell of it. Yes, you're right. It will blow over. Yeah, smells like victory. Uh-huh. Yes, and another thing, there have been several calls about the chemical spill. Yes, you will be headed out there this week. There have been some calls. Not Monsanto, though. Oh, you're there now? What are they going to say? Are you doing any press? That's nice. How much? Oh, my. That should go a long way for our campaign expenses. We can buy a lot of TV with that. Yeah, even part of it, sure. Besides, they've all been evacuated. And what? Oh, Monsanto has got the FAA to declare a no-fly zone? Super. We have more no-fly zones in our state in all of Libya. Right, Senator? Do you expect to be back in the office this afternoon? Oh, Monsanto's flying you down to Rio for the Olympic Village opening? Great. No, not me. Thanks, though. Bye, Senator. Bye-bye.
That was Listening In to Senator Bragg. And now, from the past, one of the fine minds from the Algonquin Club roundtable, a woman will tell us her version of the uninhibited flapper, basically a feminist tale from the early 20th century.
The Uninhibited Flapper by Helen Bullitt Lowry. Two generations ago, the girl was damned. One generation ago, she was ruined. Now, according to the best authorities and her own valuation, she has just played out of luck. So that for the reformers and prohibitionists, the censors and women's club resolutionists, their byproduct is Miss 20th Century Unlimited, the one uninhibited creature in a volstead civilization. Controls of liquor and of birth have given us the flapper, the official reformers, reinforcing the sagging inhibitions and corsets of the 19th century, or just the final impetus needed to drive her out into the open. The flapper is released from the stranglehold that is throttling the rest of us. If somebody makes a law for her, she promptly and blithely breaks it, the pocket flask for the moment being the outward and visible sign of the spirit, and spirits, of her wide-flung rebellion. It is the millipost between the time that was in the time that is, that flask, and to it, we owe the single standard of drinking. A half generation ago the subjects did not indulge in anything more relaxing than Coca-Cola. And even first and second year debbies did their drinking from glasses issued by the hostess, not in triplicate. If a young man of the period imported a flask from the outside, that young man was promptly dropped from polite society, no matter how stringent was the shortage of dancing beaux. They called a flask a bottle of whiskey in those days. Wild oats were reserved for the boys at college. If you were of Eve's sheltered sex, you really had to become a member of the fast young married crowd before you could get a look in. That fast young married crowd was the first to come out of the biological fastnesses of the mid-Victorian era into the cocktails and jazz of our mid-Victorian period. Moral, you had to keep yourself the kind of a girl you'd been told a man wanted to marry if you ever wanted to join in a cocktail party and slide down the banisters uninhibited, as rumor had it the fast young married crowd was doing on its orgies. Over the border of matrimony lay the mysteries of the gay wildlife. In that era before our morals were legislated, being that kind of a girl was a trying responsibility. There was an approved technique that every wise virgin had to master. It consisted of letting each man, on whom she conferred her favors, think that she really was in love with him. She called it being engaged. And, if perchance she came to possess a harem of fiancés, remember that the young things of the period were not so well able to conduct their own courtings as our present-day emancipated flappers. They still had to depend on what the tide washed in. They still did their picking from those that picked them, and sorted them over at their leisure. Then too, a half generation ago, we had not read our Freud. We did not know the jargon of sex. Both man and girl were apt to call in love the emotion which our present-day young things frankly call something else. Thus came it that the petting parties of the period operated under the left wing of a near engagement. Yet there was a weakness to the system. Each fiancé had the lordly impression that he possessed the lady of his choice. And the minute the male feels that he possesses a woman, he can get all the psychology of riding away and leaving her. Our Freudian flappers are better strategians. Men simply can't labor under the impression that he possesses a young person, if her lingo is calling the once sacred kiss just a flash of bash. Applied slang is a great leveler of romance. For times have changed since it was good form for a maid to avoid the crass mention of sex. With prohibition has come such an outburst of get moral quick legislation that the reaction is now being felt throughout the length and breadth of the flapper. The legislators would lengthen the skirts to protect the defenseless male from a chance thought of legs and the like. whereat the flapper retaliates by conversing pretty ceaselessly about, well, say associated subjects. Last season the writer, being of the genus successfully single, woke up with a start, to realize that two desirables had toyed with her hook, and retreated. One of them had even exited, uttering a fatal accusation about a tremor soul. Such a warning calls for a taking of stock. And this is what I found, because of the flappers and the way they run shop, the whole technique of the man game has changed. My method, alas, had become as out of style as a Pompadour Gibson hat. Where once girls pretended to know less, and to have experienced less than they actually had, now they pretend to more. Therein lie all the lore and the social profits. Therefore all one of these dauntless rebels reads it is not an insult, but a compliment for an admirer to explain that his intentions are frankly carnivorous. To my 10-year-old technique had still been clinging the cobwebs of the past, when even Launcelot's intentions were painted as slightly honorable. But now, the shades of Alfred Lord Tennyson help us, it has become the smart procedure to take man's bold bad intentions right out into the conversation, and pretend to be tempted by them. The truth of the matter is that those pseudo-engagements of the foxtrot decade really were furnishing a charge account psychology. Men could close his eyes and whisper, someday, my own, and still go nicely on a lady's home journal cover design of Under the Mistletoe. But, when our flapper is not even pretending to him that she is going to marry him, and when he is not even pretending to himself that he is going to marry her, well, the whole sex game has then been put on a frank cash and carry basis. Mark well, however, these worldly wise young things of this the third year of our prohibition are not necessarily less virtuous technically than their own crino-lined grandmothers. Only these days they are not bragging about their virtue, and have all the men afraid of you, for fear they'll be responsible for teaching you something, explains one practical miss. Men like to find you in stock, ready taught. We know how to take care of ourselves, so we let them think what they want. In short, the whole new game, as the earnest disciple from the half-generation ago learned it, is not to reveal the dark secret, that you abide by the Ten Commandments. Man must not suspect that you are unattainable. He must just think that he has not attained you, yet. If you want to compete with the flappers, you've got to play by the flapper rules. Check your conversational inhibitions. And if by chance there be any inhibitions left over, prohibition has obligingly introduced new opportunities for privacy that will help you check them too. When a couple strays off now from group formation, there's a perfectly good alibi available of finding a sheltered spot for a drink. Where once truly wasn't good form to go to a man's hotel room, now it is the national custom for the owner of hooch to register a casket for his jewel, and then invite the young things in, one by one. A flapper these nights can retire to that hotel bedroom for an hour in the middle of a dance. The girl is not talked about, and the place is not pulled. Even the house detective knows that she is innocently drinking a drink. Thus has this rebel young generation forced out into the open country with it all the contented young women in their late 20s and early 30s, who may not have been feeling rebellious at all. And the wives of 45 also, to compete all over again for their own husbands. For poaching on the wifely preserves has become the favorite flapper sport. Married men, having been forbidden to unmarried young persons for three chaste generations, are flappers, by product of inhibition, are promptly appropriating the husbands. This one item of the flapper aid on the married men has done more than the entire 20th century put together to change the smug structure of American society and bring us back to normalcy. Before 1865 no Southern belle considered herself worth her salt, unless all the courtly old married men in the country kissed her hand, and competed with the young blades for hookwood rills. But when black persons stopped buttoning up the shoes of the quality, America entered upon her 1870s, her somber brownstone fronts, and her cloistered husbands. The money for doing society had simply passed into the hands of the descendants of Miles Standish and Priscilla, who carry their consciences into their sober mansions with them. The age of innocence was upon us, and has clung close ever since. From that fatal day on to 1917 each oncoming debutante was taught by her mother to give unto the genus, married man, her most impersonal manner, lest she provoke his undesirable attentions. If poaching was done, it was from behind a tree. Unmarried girls knew that their place was not in somebody else's home in those days. The wives could protect their preserves by the simple expedient of talking about any unmarried young female caught on the married reservations. And so it came to pass that the pick of the men were posted, because, as fast as a callow youth gets worth marrying, somebody promptly marries him. The fast young married crowd was a closed corporation and played exclusively within itself. The female of the species had to compete only with females of equal tonnage. The only sylph-like temptation that a husband could encounter was a dissolute person whose reputation had already been ruined, and she didn't count, because nobody invited her to parties anyway. A wife could get as fat as she wanted to in those days. Even today that same leisurely life might exist for the wives. Even today the wives might be resting their feet under the bridge tables, secure in the consciousness that no bobbed-haired young poacher was daring to dance with their husbands, if they had just let prohibitions enough alone, if they had only not been swept away by the high sport of gossiping about our wild young people, which struck the country in the summer of 1920. This gossip was an intrinsic phase of the virtue wave which always immediately precedes a crime wave. The wives just at this point, instead of sitting tight, made the strategic mistake of turning the forethought of the ammunition of gossip, which should have been saved for defending husbands from poachers, into a defensive attack on the flapper's lipstick, on her cigarettes, and on her petting parties. Whenever two or three wives were gathered together, their topic was our wild young people. That summer too saw the launching of that now seasoned romance about the checking of corsets. The resolutions at clumps were being resolved. The preachers were sermonizing. The upstate legislators were drafting bills against flappers smoking cigarettes. Human nature can be pushed just so far. Instead of reforming, the young things apparently decided one might as well lose a reputation for stealing a husband as for smoking a cigarette. The whole arsenal for combating poachers blew up. To make matters worse, in the excitement of the virtue wave our wild young people had been attacked as a group instead of as individuals. That was the second mistake. The whole strength of gossip consists in selecting one member of the clan for calumny, to stand out disgraced and alone among her exemplary sisters. Because the flappers had been gossiped about en masse, the whole reason for not being gossiped about had ceased. The poacher of that half generation ago had been the kind of a girl who stalked her game alone. But, when all the girls in town are seeking to steal your husband, what are you going to do about it, if you are a woman of 45 with a heaviness around the hips and a disinclination to learn the camel walk? Nor can you get the poachers off the scent by crossing the trail with an eligible bachelor. Logically, the young things should have enough sense to ignore a preempted husband and attend to the serious business of getting themselves husbands. But they haven't. They seem to prefer the husbands of the other women. And curiously, the more they engage in this exotic sport of poaching, the less keen they become about owning a property for somebody else to poach on. The real interstate joke on Puritanism is that the flapper, who flaps because Puritanism has driven her to it, will automatically bring about its cure. The whole vitality of Puritanism rests on the unswerving principle of letting not thy right hand know what thy left hand doeth, if thy left hand is doing something it shouldn't. Puritanism could not last out a weekend without the able assistance of the standardized double life. And that is just what the flappers refuse to respect. They are even insisting on being taken along on the parties, which, by all the rules of Rolfe and Comstock, should be confined to man's double life. Whether Chorus Lady was once the only brand that had the proper and improper equipment to jazz up an evening, now mankind has come to prefer the flapper, who drinks as much as a Broadwayite, is just as peppy, and not quite so gold-diggish. It is so simple, smiles Barbara nonchalantly blowing her smoke rings. You old ear set man an impossible standard, as he had always, to be pretending holy emotions, whenever he was around you, he just naturally had to get away half the time, to rest the muscles of his inhibitions. Why, you funny old things actually drove man into his double life, just as you made all of his best stories have two additions, one for a nice girl and one for, well say one not so nice. Our crowd has done more than all of your silly old social hygiene commissions to bring nearer the single standard by going part way to meet him. The preachers are wasting their time when they rail that the flappers are painting their faces like fallen women. Of course they are painting them that way, for the very good reason that mankind has demonstrated unmistakably that that kind of woman has a way with her. Not so long ago cosmetics became a moral issue. The curl rag was the only beautifier that somehow never lost its odor of sanctity, and that was doubtless because curl rags were a perfectly logical part of the long-sleeve Canton flannel nightgown civilization. Curls couldn't be so very wrong when they were so frightfully unbecoming in the making. And so the good woman handed over intact to her weaker sister every beautifier that the world had been 8,000 years accumulating. Slowly, timidly the allurements returned. The talcum powder bought for baby surreptitiously reached the nose. When the half generation ago was young, we had adopted a certain lip salve, just one shade darker than the way lips come, explaining, to save our reputations, that we were keeping our lips from chapping. Rouge too had come coyly back, but, and here's the gist of the whole matter, in polite society paint was put on to imitate nature. We were still doing our makeup as man conducted his double life, with intent to deceive the general public. We still belonged at heart to the Puritan era, in spite of our wicked foxtrot, or may have been artificial below the neck, from our gossard corsets with their phalanx of garters on to hobble skirts. But above the neck, we pretended it was natural. The flapper has changed all that. She has turned the lady upside down, as well as the world. For the flapper is au naturel below the neck. Above the neck she is the most artificially and entertainingly painted creature that has graced society since Queen Elizabeth. With one bold stroke of a passionately red-head lipstick, she has painted out Elaine the Fair, and the later-day noble Christie girl, and painted in an exotic young person, me to compete alike with a Ziegfeld showgirl, with a heaven-born Egyptian princess, or even a good Queen Bess, who could not move her face after it was dressed up for the morning. And Bess was the Virgin Queen. The American Victorian is indeed the only era in history when cosmetics became a moral issue. Even in dour Cromwellian England, rouge registered the wrong politics but not immorality. We are merely getting back to normalcy in cosmetics, back behind the dumb wall of the Victorian era. And it is the flapper who has done it for us. What's more, she has done it frankly and purposefully, because the reformer, in its naive innocence, has explained to her that what she is doing is wicked and will get that kind of results. Similarly, those of them who had not yet taken off their corsets at dances, promptly did so when shocked elders began repeating the corset-checking story. Dear heart, the only reason that they had not done so before is because the little dears hadn't heard that the worst people were using ribs instead of whalebone that season. Vice would die out from disuse if the reformers did not advertise.
And now?
Hello?
Hello. Is this the scintillating Sintra? Well, then, in that case, scintillate away, my dear. I understand, truth be told, that you have some truth to tell.
Well, I do have some semi-truth, and people can decide themselves if it's true or not.
That is the most qualified endorsement of Zen cones I've ever heard. So, Promethean traits being what they are, fire away.
Well, probably one of the very first cavemen, in a quiet, contemplative moment, asked, "Why am I here?" Or maybe not, but we're not here to answer that question. We're here to share some Zen jokes. A man went to order a pizza. The vendor asked, "What do you want?" The man, "Make me one with everything." Vendor, "Okay, that'll be $12. So the man got his pizza and gave the vendor a $20 bill. The man waited a bit and then said, "Where's my change?" The vendor replied, all one with everything. Change comes from within. What did the Buddhist tell the door-to-door salesperson who came to his home selling vacuum cleaners? Answer, too many attachments.
Oh!
Question, did you hear about the new low-fat religion? Answer, I can't believe it's not Buddha. Question, what happens when a Buddhist becomes totally absorbed with his computer? Answer, he enters Nerdvana. Question, what did the sign in the monastery searching for the new monk say? Answer, inquire within. Question, how many Zen Buddhists does it take to change a light bulb? Answer, three. One to change it, one to not change it, and one to both change and not change it. The Master. I've never met someone so thoughtless in my life. Keep up the good work. The Disciple. Thank you, Master. So, I hear reincarnation is making a comeback.
Oh!
Question, why are politicians proof of reincarnation? Answer, you just can't get that screwed up in one lifetime. I didn't believe in reincarnation the last time either. I hear the Dalai Lama recently fired his gardener who had a degree in carnations but didn't dig reincarnations.
Oh!
My karma ran over my dogma. Meditation. Two neighbors, Bill and Joe, met on the street. Joe. So how are you, Bill? Bill. Fine, thanks. How's your son? Is he still unemployed? Joe. Yes, he is, but he's meditating now. Bill. Meditating? What's that? Joe. I don't know. But it sure beats sitting around and doing nothing. Birthday. What did one Buddhist master give to the child for his birthday? Nothing wrapped in emptiness. How did the birthday child respond? You are thoughtless for giving me this meaningless gift. To which the Buddhist master replied, thank you. Wise teacher. One Zen student said, my teacher is the best. He can go days without eating. The second said, my teacher has so much self-control, he can go days without sleep. The third said, my teacher is so wise that he eats when he's hungry and sleeps when he's tired. Two boys. A Catholic boy and a Buddhist boy were talking, and the Catholic boy said, my priest knows more than your Buddhist teacher. The Buddhist boy said, of course he does. You tell him everything.
Oh!
It's always darkest before dawn, so if you're going to steal your neighbor's newspaper, that's the time to do it. Don't be irreplaceable. If you can't be replaced, you can't be promoted. Always remember you're unique, just like everyone else.
Oh!
Never test the depth of the water with both feet. If you think nobody cares if you're alive, try missing a couple of car payments. Before you criticize someone, you should walk a mile in their shoes. That way, when you criticize them, you're a mile away, and you've got their shoes. Give a man a fish, and he will eat for a day. If you lend someone $20 and never see that person again, it was probably worth it. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. good judgment comes from bad experience, and a lot of that comes from bad judgment. The quickest way to double your money is to fold it in half and put it back in your pocket. Duct tape is like the Force. It has a light side and a dark side, and it holds the universe together. A closed mouth gathers no foot. Generally speaking, you aren't learning much when your lips are moving. So never miss a chance to shut up. If at first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you.
Oh.
Experience is something you don't get until just after you need it. Some days you are the bug. Some days you are the windshield.
Oh.
The most wasted day of all is one in which we have not laughed. And now back to our host, Sir Richard, Prince of Mirth and Merriment, and may the Force be with you.
And speaking of the Force, we've had a team of physicists working on the Musitron 5000, and they've left us this.
Physics humor. Plasma physicist A. Princeton plasma physicist is at the beach when he discovers an ancient-looking oil lantern sticking out of the sand. He rubs the sand off with a towel and a genie pops out. The genie offers to grant him one wish. The physicist retrieves a map of the world from his car and circles the Middle East and tells the genie, "I wish you to bring peace in this region." After 10 long minutes of deliberation, the genie replies, "Gee, there are lots of problems there with Lebanon, Iraq, Israel, and all those other places. This is awfully embarrassing. I've never had to do this before, but I'm just going to have to ask you for another wish. This one is just too much for me." Taken aback, the physicist thinks a bit and asks, "I wish that the Princeton tokamak would achieve scientific fusion energy break-even." After another deliberation, the genie asks, "Could I see that map again? What did the male magnet say to the female magnet?" "From your backside, I thought you were repulsive. However, after seeing you from the front, I find you rather attractive." What do physicists enjoy doing most at sporting events? The wave. Why can't you trust an atom? They make up everything. What is the name of the first electricity detective? Sherlock Holmes. Why are quantum physicists bad lovers? Because when they find the position, they can't find the momentum, and when they have the momentum, they can't find the position. What did the physicist snack on during lunch? A graham cracker. Why does hamburger have lower energy than steak? Because it's in the ground state. How many theoretical physicists specializing in general relativity does it take to change a light bulb? Two. One to hold a bulb and one to rotate the universe. What do you get when you mix sulfur, tungsten, and silver? Swag. Where does bad light end up? In a prism. What is the simplest way to observe the optical Doppler effect? Go out at and look at cars. The lights of the ones approaching you are white, while the lights of the ones moving away from you are red. What animal is made up of calcium, nickel and neon? Carnine. Why couldn't the media strip and roll at the school? If they required an orientation. What would you call a clown in jail? Silicon. What does a mathematician do about constipation? He works it out with a pencil. Why is a physics book always unhappy? Because it always has lots of problems. How do you call a one-sided nudie bar? A Mobius strip clump. What is non-orientable and lives in the ocean? A Mobius stick. What is a proof? 0.5% of alcohol. According to a physicist, why is the world so diverse? Because it's made up of all kinds of people. How ugly is your mom? Even fluorine won't bind to her. What did Donald Duck say in his graduate physics class? A quark. 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 What did one uranium-238 nucleus say to the other? A got a split. What did one quantum physicist say when he wanted to fight another quantum physicist? Let me at him. What do physicists call a benzene ring with iron atoms replacing the carbon atoms? A Ferris wheel. Q, why did carbon marry hydrogen? They bonded well from the minute they met. Q, if H2O is the formula for water, what is the formula for ice? RH2O cubed. Q, why did the chicken cross the Möbius strip? To get to the same side. Q, what did Al Gore play on his guitar? An algorithm. Q, why was the calculus teacher bad at baseball? He was better at fitting curves than hitting them. Q, what's the integral of 1/cabin d cabin? A natural log cabin. Did you hear oxygen and magnesium got together? Omg. A neutron walked into a bar and asked, how much for a drink? The bartender replied, for you, no charge. A lesbian in physics class was asked to define the term vacuum in class. She answered, a vacuum is an empty region of space where the Pope lives. According to Einstein's theory of relatives, the probability of in-laws visiting you is directly proportional to how much you feel like being left alone. There is a sign in Munich that says, Heisenberg might have slept here. Newton's fifth law: performance of the boys in the exams decreases when the number of girls in the exam hall increases. Nothing in the known universe travels faster than a bad check. Anger is neither created nor conserved, but only changed from one form to another. A helium nucleus says to another, I need to cool off. The other says, you're in luck. I have you down for the full spin. When Albert Einstein masturbates, is it a stroke of genius? Divorce and alimony are equivalent, but the latter is multiplied by an enormous factor. Researchers in Fairbanks, Alaska announced last week that they have discovered a superconductor which will operate at room temperature. Higgs boson. A Higgs boson particle walks into a church, but the preacher says, get out of here, you are a disgrace. You call yourself the God particle when there is only one true God. The Higgs boson replies, well, if I am not here, how can you have mass? equals Physicist, engineer, and mathematician. What is the difference between a physicist, an engineer, and a mathematician? If an engineer walks into a room and sees a fire in the middle and a bucket of water in the corner, he takes the bucket of water and pours it on the fire and puts it out. If a physicist walks into a room and sees a fire in the middle and a bucket of water in the corner, he takes the bucket of water and pours it eloquently around the fire and lets the fire put itself out. If a mathematician walks into a room and sees a fire in the middle and a bucket of water in the corner, he convinces himself there is a solution and leaves. Dot wife, a girlfriend, a physicist, a mathematician and a computer scientist discuss what is better, a wife or a girlfriend. The physicist, a girlfriend. You still have freedom to experiment. The mathematician, a wife. You have security. The computer scientist, both. When I'm not with my wife, she thinks I'm with my girlfriend. With my girlfriend it's vice versa. And I can be with my computer without anyone disturbing me. Quote, girlfriend, what happened to your girlfriend, that really cute physics major? Quote, she no longer is my girlfriend. I caught her cheating on me. I don't believe that she cheated on you. Well, a couple of nights ago I called her on the phone, and she told me that she was in bed wrestling with three unknowns. Quote, doing it, biologists do it with clones. Botanists do it in the bushes. Zoologists do it with animals. Physicists think about it. Water teacher, what is the formula for water? Student H, I, J, K, L, M, N. Oh teacher, that's not what I taught you. Student, but you said the formula for water was H2O. Gin. Water is composed of two gins, oxygen and hydrogen. Oxygen is pure gin. Hydrogen is gin and water. Two atoms are walking down the street. One atom says to the other, hey, I think I lost an electron. The other says, are you sure? Yes, I am positive. Laboratory. You enter the laboratory and see an experiment. How will you know which class is it? If it's green and wiggles, it's biology. If it stinks, it's chemistry. If it doesn't work, it's physics. Robbers. A group of organic molecules were having a party when a group of robbers broke into the room and stole all of the guests' jewels. A tall, strong man, armed with a machine gun, came into the room and killed the robbers one by one. The guests were very grateful to this man and they wanted to know who he was. He replied, "My name is Bond, Covalent Bond, Sir Hamilton."
And that were the physics jokes. And now, a report from Down Rio Way by Miss Rhea Bayerio. Here we go.
The Olympic Report with the lovely Rita Bayerio. Miss Rhea.
Brazilian authorities are happy to report that the anticipated urban removal has proceeded at samba school speed, and those poor who managed to escape the silent secret Soylent Selection Samba have been relocated to a new conceived remote village that is completely school-free, store-free, and employment-free, and just over a two-week drive from the real suburbs back, way, way back deep in amazing Amazonian jungle where only Yanomami and Coke Muse ever go.
Does the relocation process make it difficult for the working poor to commute back to Rio for their poorly paid jobs?
You're so funny. There's no commuting. There are no buses, no trains, and cars are forbidden in that part of the Amazon.
Well, then let me ask you this. What work will be available to these relocated citizens?
You're so funny. There aren't citizens. They're the poor in our brave and new Brazil. They're considered a natural resource, and it's the citizens that really matter. As promised, the fresh carpet throughout the Olympic Village trademark have been hand-woven from the collected scalps of missing poor children, providing throughout the Olympic Village trademark that promised whispered softness.
Why? That must be so comfy.
Like a baby's button. In fact, the couches in the dining hall are covered with the bottoms of real homeless children. And some, though, there was no place in society for these lost children. Rumors of hauntings by located poor have been not only discounted, but a team of commercial monks from the Beni Hamsun Monastery have been performing ritual exorcism up and down the gaily lit streets of Olympic Village trademark. In the high seas, we've seen similar success by the bazillionaires of Brazil. After paving the Olympic Village trademark with the flattened hovel, hovels of the poor, which were then cased in non-degradable flexi sheen, which formed colorfully prosaic mosaic of a poor homes beneath, flattened to form the disco dance floors of the jet setting Olympic tourists who can afford the $10,000 per event ticket price. The bay has been filtered through the kidneys of a nearby villages who were forced to drink the entire bay to provide a freshly filtered body of water for the million-dollar yacht that those imported tourists linger in while they visit the multi-billion-dollar 18-day extravaganza that has made so much of a life bearable for the above-average Brazilian.
Thank you so much, Miss Bahirio.
I'll see you at Carnival.
So I want to thank my actors and actresses tonight, Miss Jackie Japes as Grady Flation, Miss Misty Shores as Verity Bismuth. The Senator's secretary was Crispy Biscuit, and Luciana Bonaldi was Rita Bain Amrio. So thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
And a paw! And a paw! Out of the faucet! Out of the horses! And a paw!
Fredonia's gone to war. Each native son will grab a gun and run away to war.
At last we're going to. We don't want them. going to war. At last the country's going to war.
At last the country's going to war.
This is a fact we can't ignore.
We're going to war.